Welcome to the Nurture Hub Pregnancy and Birth Podcast with your hosts, Shari Lyon and Nicola Lay.
Together, we bring over 30 years of experience in working with women and partners through education, breathing, mindfulness, and evidence-based information, and nurturing you through this transformation into motherhood.
Join us on this journey as we connect with women and partners, mentoring, supporting, and navigating the ups and downs of becoming parents.
Welcome, Carla and Nadia. This is such an amazing podcast today. You are the most amazing women who ran the Golden Month, and we're so excited that you're on here today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
So excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you for taking time out of, I'm sure, your busy day. First of all, we would just love to hear your story of how the Golden Month was born, and I guess your why, and why did you start the Golden Month?
Yeah, I guess that came about after our own personal postpartum journey. So Nadia and I both work with women's health, you know, supporting women along their journey through hormones, fertility, pregnancy, and then we noticed a real drop off in that postpartum. So we'd worked with women for years, and then once they had their babies, we kind of wouldn't see them again until, you know, a couple of years later when they're, you know, all depleted and burnt out and trying again and they're needing our help. So Nadia and I had kind of got together and we just had kind of babies around the similar time, and we realized that there was just really nothing our Western culture had to offer, you know, was even doing to honor that space and that time, that fourth trimester. And we were actually running a period workshop, and we were like, we got together to write this period workshop. And then we had a little conversation on the side, like, oh, let's brainstorm.
Yeah, I think it was one of the attendees actually conceived really easily with her first child, and then second child, I think she was like 6 years postpartum. And she was just so deeply depleted from her first journey into motherhood, that she was really struggling to conceive that second time around. And we were just like bouncing off of each other. I'm like, man, this happens all the time. And Carla's like, yeah, I see it all the time too. And I guess with our own studies and backgrounds, we understood what other cultures were doing. And there was just such a big gap in the Western culture. And we were just like, you know, we're just throwing ideas around, and we're like, oh, let's do this business, and let's cook for mums and go into their homes and massage them and do acupuncture.
Yeah, it was a very quick organic, it was literally a 10-minute conversation. We wrote the business idea on a couple of pages within, you know, that 10-minute conversation, and then we pretty much launched within a couple of days, like, let's just see what the world thinks of this. Because we just felt so fiery and passionate about it, and it was just really
well received. And so funny, because like we did like a post, and we're like, oh, we're doing this company, and within 2 hours a midwife had already referred someone for a booking, and we're like, oh my god, like, what are we charging, what are we doing, like, what?
Wow.
Just completely freaked out because we had nothing in place. It was so funny. And it was just, yeah, really cool. We used to cook in our kitchens on a Sunday, meet up Monday morning, do a few deliveries, and then go and see the mums and look after them in their homes. And it's just, you know, a real testament to how needed this work is, because we just got so busy overnight, and it's just continuing to grow so quickly. And women are just like soaking it up, like they just want it and they need it. And yeah, it's amazing.
I love the quote that you have in your website, which is, everyone wants to hold baby, we hold the mother. And that's a very beautiful, just a moment just to really feel into that, because it's very true. And tell us about your own traveling into motherhood for you both, and, you know, how that was for you.
I think, this is Carla speaking, for those who don't know whose voice is who. Because my background is Chinese medicine, you know, that real, the sitting month, or the that golden month we learn about, and you know how very little they do and how much support and help they get. Like I knew all the things to do, yet I kind of, with my first baby, I put all the focus on, you know, preparing for the labor and the birth, and really just kind of forgot to prep and educate my village and my little community and my partner and for like what I actually needed. And I didn't really know, because it was my first baby, I guess I didn't really know, like you only know when you know. But then I ended up having emergency cesarean, and kind of all my whatever plans I thought I had in place, which is also very little, went out the window. So I just found myself being very typical in that I was trying to do too much, trying to just get on with life. I was eating toast, like scraps, drinking coffee, and not doing any of the things I knew, which was so important. And nothing else was really offered to me as well. Like it was just, it's not really a done thing to kind of go in and let the mum lay in bed for a month. So it just really made me question a lot of things and just think, you know, if I, someone who knows what to do, can't even do it, then there's really quite a problem here.
Especially in our Western culture, that's for sure. It's very detached. We've kind of been, I don't know, we've grown up kind of being made to feel like, and I think being an independent woman is a strong message that we've kind of learnt, but being independent when you are a mother can be very lonely, and it's tiring. And I had no real support after I had my kids either. I had my mother.
And that's one thing we're always sort of, you know, saying to the mums is you don't have to wear that superwoman cape.
But I think, like you said, educating is really important. Educating the people in your life and actually saying, that's this is what I need. Can you hold that space for me after? Whereas I would have never done that, because and just that quote that Nicola said is so right. Everyone wants to come and see the baby, and I literally had no food in my fridge, and I had my mother-in-law fly up from Melbourne, who I love, literally the day after I had my baby, but she does not cook, she does not clean. She literally sat on my couch, and all she wanted to do was hold the baby. And don't worry, I learned I did not allow anyone like that to come up for my second baby. But I felt like I had to look after her. And it was just, now I reflect back and I'm like, it was just so wrong. It's so backwards.
I guess for me, I feel like I've lived two lives in one life. So I had my first two children when I was really young. So I was actually a teen mum. I had my son when I was 17. But coming from an Italian culture, I had so much support. I lived with my sister and my parents. My cousins were always coming over and looking after me. And, you know, Italian culture, food is our love language. Yes. So, you know, I was always being really nourished and supported and cared for. So that first experience for me was really amazing. And I, you know, then when I started working in clinic, I was like, oh my God, why don't your family come and help and cook and clean? But with my second pregnancy, me and my husband actually separated when I was only like 6 or 7 weeks pregnant. So for me, I went into that, I can do everything on my own. I didn't want any family support or help, because I think I had a lot of shame, first of all, being a teen mum with my first and then going through a separation in my second pregnancy. I guess I was trying to prove to the world that I had my shit together and that I could do everything. And it led to like a series of ongoing health issues, really bad anxiety, and just complete and utter burnout. By the time my daughter was 4 years old, I had, you know, ongoing heart palpitations and all these issues. So I guess, you know, my second journey round when I remarried and had my recent two girls, I was like, no, I'm definitely not going down that path again. And me and Carla were actually pregnant with our daughters at the same time. And I guess with our knowledge, I was just kind of like, oh, I wanted to look into doing all of these things, but there was just nothing available. So, you know, after we had the girls, that's when these conversations started. And with our recent babies, we were pregnant together again at the same time.
Not planned.
Not planned. And hopefully that doesn't happen again, because I've got four and I'm done and Carla's trying and I'm like, oh my God, could you imagine? That would be so funny. not funny, not good for business.
Yeah. So you're not just a meal delivery service though, no. Are you? But could you just explain to me exactly how it all comes together? So it's not just meals, it's other services. And I'm sure that you have packages that the families can choose, but the whole kind of, could you just give us a little bit of an idea of the whole story?
It's called, you know, the golden package, which is, I guess, the deluxe style package. So it's 4 weeks of fresh food delivery. But then a part of that is we have 2 acupuncture visits and 2 massage home visits over the month. So it's 1 weekly visit. But in that visit, you know, we do herbal bathing, we help mum look after baby, we make tea for her, we, you know, put her in a herbal bath or make her a sitz, and we do belly binding and stuff like that. And then with the Chinese medicine side of things, you might want to talk about what you guys do a little bit more.
The visits, I guess they consist of that really warming, grounding, nurturing. So, yeah, we do the acupuncture, which is, you know, about nourishing qi and blood and everything she's kind of been depleted of through pregnancy and birth. And then we do moxa, which is a warming, it's called mother roasting or mother warming, and it's using a Chinese herb, kind of like a cigar, and waving it over the belly and the lower abdomen to help bring blood flow and qi, you know, vital energy, as well as helping the uterus kind of come back to its former self. And just really get rid of any of that cold, because birth is almost like a cold kind of experience. It's like the outside world kind of coming into the internal body, and cold can become trapped and cause stagnation, which then can cause future, you know, disease and imbalances. So it's a time to really warm and support and nourish, to try and safeguard your future health. In China, they really believe that it's time to do as little as possible, because you don't want to use your little treasure chest of energy that you've got, because if you look after that energy and that vital essence in that time, you're going to be better off later on. So they say that the first 40 days, the way you spend your first 40 days is how you spend your next 40 years.
Mm.
So, yeah, really important time to warm and hold that time.
And I think our food... you know, is a big part of that as well. So it's not just, you know, pasta and salads and all that sort of stuff. So we really go to that ancient style, traditional style of eating, like really warming, nourishing soups and congee, rice puddings. So from an Ayurvedic and TCM perspective, it's about really soft, digestible foods that are really easy on the body, really nourishing and warming.
That's so beautiful. And, you know, it's something that I teach within the coaching that I do, is that often what I'm working with is women that have that postnatal depletion, postnatal anxiety. And it's because they're trying to hold all the plates or juggling all the jobs, and they're not actually really taking a moment to look at their baby and tell their baby how much they love them and how in the gratitude they are for the moments of those first 40 days. And and the way that I teach is that, you know, a baby's trauma starts from birth, because it's a traumatic experience for the baby too. So how we then are, you know, moving forward with our connection to our baby is how our baby feels about being here in this world.
That's right.
So what I can see is that you're offering this opportunity for mom to completely absorb herself into this connection so that she can recover and the baby feels fully held, welcomed and loved into the world. Yeah, I love what you're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just giving mums that time to really slow down and connect with baby. And all babies are all, you know, completely so different with what they're going to be needing in those first few weeks as well. And the slower we are and the more quiet the house, we can really tune into those babies' needs and just form this beautiful connection with them and do, you know, parenting based on our children, not on what everyone else is saying and doing. So it's really just about, you know, being slow for so many reasons. And, you know, scientifically it has been proven now women that have got that support in that first fourth trimester have a lot better outcomes of, you know, breastfeeding, less postnatal anxiety and depression as well.
Yeah. And do you find that you have a mix of first-time mums or second? Because what I see is it's the second time round that a woman is kind of labelled, well, you know what to do, so you'll be okay. And
yeah,
that's,
I mean, I guess for us it's really interesting because the second-time mums are like, fuck, we need you.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that shit again. So it's really quite interesting. I would probably say, like, you know, the larger portion are second time mothers. But in saying that, you know, even just in the last year, you know, we've been around for 3 years, but, you know, the last year, I think we're starting to break through that cultural difference here in Australia. And women are, you know, they know now, like, hey, I've got to start preparing for that fourth trimester. It's not just all about the birth. And,
yeah, there's a lot more education. Like, even just scrolling through Instagram, there are so many like-minded businesses, and there are, you know, there's a few kind of services now that are focused just solely on that postpartum. So it is becoming, it's like that shift is being made. It's obviously not completely turned around, but we are all kind of on the ground paving the way for a different future for, say, our children's children.
Mm.
So that shift is happening and the awareness is happening, which is great, because there's more and more businesses like us and like you guys doing their work and changing the paradigm. So
it is really nice. We're having a lot of mums that did the golden month when we first opened 3 years ago.
Two and a half years
that they you know, they're starting to have their second baby, so they're booking in again, and it's so nice.
So cool. It's like that 0.2 version.
So is it just the two of you? Is it the golden month, or do you now have other practitioners in other areas that also do this?
So we started in Adelaide cooking in our own kitchens. Then we moved to kind of a commercial kitchen and got a team to help cook. And then as we've gotten a little bit busier, we've brought on, you know, practitioners in Adelaide to help do the acupuncture and the massage. And then we started kind of in the Byron Northern Rivers region, up to Gold Coast and then Victoria as well. So we've got little teams, like pockets of teams. And, you know, now we've got our team in Sydney. So we've got our main kitchen, which cooks. And then we've got our practitioners who are in the different areas and different suburbs in each state. So we've got
basically Adelaide all the way up to Sunshine Coast now.
Yeah, and each it's the same program, so the same kind of package. You know, you get, if you're buying investing in that full 1 month package, you're going to get the food and then the two TCM visits and the two massage therapist visits. And yeah, so you're going to get the local in that area who's trained in those things.
Wow.
So we've got a really lovely team, which is really nice.
Sounds amazing.
I know. I wish I'd.
I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, I've got a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old and I'm like, nothing like this was ever available. And I'm going to be honest, like, I would, you know, I teach about birth, so I teach hypnobirthing, so my role in this journey for women is to help them prepare for birth. But now I'm really trying to make a conscious effort throughout the program to remind all of my clients that there is that fourth trimester, and that don't just have a birth plan, have a postpartum plan as well, because I'm really seeing also, depending on how their birth turns out, that can affect them massively in that postpartum period, in that recovery.
It is massive.
Not just physically, but emotionally as well, especially if they are emerging from their birth feeling trauma, or that they weren't supported in birth, and then to not then feel supported or acknowledged about their experience postpartum can then lead to that reduction in hormone release, which then, you know, makes them feel not as connected to the baby, or if they're having problems breastfeeding and things like that. And it's still in our culture to just kind of tell women to just get on with it. You know, the baby's alive and well, and that's all that matters. And I yes, it's our main goal, and I know many of us would sacrifice ourselves for our babies, but we shouldn't have to sacrifice ourselves. And
yes.
I think that's kind of the message that has been outlaid in our Western culture, is that you sacrifice for yourself for your babies, and that means even after the birth you're sacrificing sleep, and you've got to do everything and sacrifice how, you know, holding that space for yourself, because it's like, well, you're gonna have to do it by yourself one day, so you may as well just do it right from the start.
And we hear it so often, like we go into the homes and we do a birth debrief, and we do closing the bones. So it's really about honouring mum through that journey, you know, and going through her birth experience. But a lot of the times mums have had like really traumatic experiences, and they're like, oh, but it's fine, baby's okay. And, you know, it's a really good chance for us to sit down and be like, well, no, this is not okay. And, you know, if you are well, your family will be well. Like, it starts with you. And just really reminding mums, like, you know, to unpack all of those stories and, just know that she can talk about it, and it's not always just about baby.
Yeah. Could you please explain a little bit about the closing of the bones? I'm hearing this more and more, but just for our listeners who may not know, like, what is that involved, and where does it come from?
Yeah. So, I mean, every culture around the world has some sort of a closing, you know, traditional form of honoring the mother. You know, indigenously here in Australia and then all over the world. But basically, so there's a few styles and a few different ways that you can do it. But I guess it's just about really holding that space for mum. For me, my training, that was through, you know, a certain type of body work, womb and abdominal massage. And then we also use beautiful rebozo, which is like Mexican traditional cloth. And we do a lot of like body stretching, body kind of shaking and wrapping. We do, you know, sometimes you can do drumming, saging, but, you know, wrapping the mother post body treatment as well, and just giving her that time to kind of come back into her body. And I think in our culture, women kind of stay in that out-of-body experience in birth.
Yes,
and
definitely.
That could be just so easy for them to stay out of their body because they had a traumatic experience. Or, but, you know, like, hey, let's come back into your body so you can start really healing emotionally, physically, and spiritually through that journey. So just, you know, letting women know, like, hey, it's okay, we're here. And, yeah, it's really beautiful.
I really love this because it's something that I do inside my birth preparation work with as a breath worker. Is I always discuss about what supports on the other side. You know, when you let your body birth your baby and you get out of your own way, you can have this truly amazing experience. But however, what's happening on the other side? And a lot of them just look really confused at me. And I'm always saying to them, you know, what support? Who's going to help you? Have you got really good open discussion with your birth partner about what that looks like on the other side? And who's going to help you with food and blah, blah, blah? And often it's just so... you know, deer in headlights, not really sure what that looks like. So being able to listen for listeners today to hear all of the importance of this is just, you know, so amazing that you're delivering this service to women. And so if a woman, say, for example, is on the Gold Coast or somewhere in Australia, you've got those team of women that come do exactly what you're doing in Adelaide in their area, so to speak. Am I right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. And we personally know majority of them as well. So we've trained with some of them, you know, as well. So we've really created a beautiful team of like-minded women that we really trust. And we just get such amazing feedback from all of our clients all over Australia that they've, you know, really gotten on so well with the practitioners and felt really held and supported.
Yeah, I guess it's a special kind of work. And all of our therapists will probably say the same thing. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like an honour to be able to be in that space with a new mum and a brand new baby. It's just, it's a whole new thing. And everyone just loves the work. So that energy and that vibe, and I guess those intentions are really felt from our mothers.
Yeah, and you leave a home visit and you're on such a high because you're like, oh my gosh, this work is just groundbreaking. And we've got like big, you know, practitioner group chats after treatment, we're all messaging each other like, oh my god, it was amazing, and she's doing so well, and I did this and this. And you really feel like you could do this work for the rest of your life and not get paid. It's just so rewarding and so cup filling for us. And yeah, we love it.
Yeah.
I really feel into that. What would be your, you know, some advice that you would give a mother that's early pregnant to get ready for this postnatal journey?
Yeah, I mean,
I think the first thing would be to, and this is what I was saying earlier, to really kind of come up with a similar to a birth plan. You can come up with like even just a few dot points of postpartum, like your plan and what you actually feel you need, and give it to your partner, give it to your family. And that may just be like, make sure my water bottle is always full, offer me water when I'm breastfeeding. Make sure that my freezer, help me make sure that my freezer is always full with meals, or, you know, start a meal train. Organize that with friends and family, or, you know, order something like the Golden Month, like, you know, a food delivery to make sure that you're fed.
I think the most important thing is, I guess, you know, even when you go in birth, if there aren't these things on paper, you know, there's so much fog and so much things going on around you that you may forget what you really want and what you really need. So our big thing is like, hey, book these things in, have things in place, because the minute baby's born, it's a whirlwind. And you could be so, you know, in that massive foggy period, and then you get to 6 weeks postnatal and you're like, oh my God, I was going to book the Golden Month, or I was going to contact this postpartum doula and I forgot. So having these things, you know, set in place, so, you know, you don't forget in the heat of the moment, I guess, is really just so important. And, you know, my postpartum dream could be someone's worst nightmare. So, you know, I really like my own space and being in my own little bubble, whereas some people really do want a daily visitor. It could be really great for their mental health. So, you know, just making sure that you are really tuning into what you need in that moment, and finding your voice. Just be like, hey, I don't want visitors today, or hey, please someone come in and check in on me because I need help.
Yeah, I think a lot of women that, well, I'm teaching at the moment, I'm hearing this resistance of them wanting to speak up for anything that they want, because we've got such an ancestral thread being women to not, to believe that we don't want to be difficult. So to feel that we're being difficult by asking what we want and needing help. And I'm finding this, I actually had a couple this weekend, and this mum just kept saying, oh, you know, I just feel like if I ask my obstetrician questions that he's going to look at me like I'm just being difficult. And I'm like,
a pain in the ass.
Yeah. And it's, yeah. I guess it could be the same for that postpartum period. And I tell my parents now, I say, honestly, if you're going to have a baby shower or something like that, don't be scared to ask and say, look, we don't need more Muslim wraps. Yeah. Or we don't need more baby clothes. Like, you,
nappy
honestly,
cake, ew.
Like, yeah, exactly. Go ask them and put on your request in saying, you know, our baby's going to have enough clothes. And look, if their baby's been born in summer, I'd probably not even wear any of them.
Yeah.
Ask for these kinds of services, or ask for a cleaner for the first month to
come
in and clean your home, and ask for these, you know, meal services, or ask your friends to come around and do a big cook up where you can freeze the meals. Like that is what you are going to really need after the birth, not more dummies and bottles and things like that.
And a lot of people are putting it on their invites, like, hey, I've got everything that we need for baby, but can we have XYZ so I can put it towards this, or get me a voucher for the Golden Month, or, you know, my massage therapist to come and see me, because I think it's changing, which is really nice.
And I just think back to having my first baby, and they wheeled her in and they went, oh, you know, here she is. I'm like, oh, can you bring her back tomorrow, because I'm really tired. And then I remember thinking my neck was so painful, because I must have been like squeezing into my neck the whole time. And just and my background's massage as well, thinking, can't someone just come and give me a massage? So actually, you know, just all these things, you don't always know you need it till you've been through it. So
that's,
you know,
right.
Just you delivering this education around the postnatal journey is a really important part of what we need to change in a woman's life now. Well, such an honor to have you on today.
Thank you so much.
And we'll put all your details inside the show notes so that people know how to get hold of you. And thank you
for the work you're doing. I think it's really beautiful.
Thank you, and you ladies as well. It's so amazing to chat to like-minded women, and there is just never going to be enough care for women through this period. So it's lovely to connect.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Carla and Nadia.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
We hope that you've enjoyed this episode and that it's helped you on your own journey. We would love it if you would subscribe and leave us a review.
To learn more about our individual online or face-to-face courses or be mentored by us for your own birth, please see our show notes for the links to our programs.